Pastor Barley for inviting me here to address this audience. And I'm always glad to share my information on a subject which has been the subject of a great deal of speculation, but which there seems to be very little solid information, particularly in the mass media. They claim that when George Bush went on national television at his press conferences and began to talk about the New World Order, not one journalist in the White House press room dared to ask him what the New World Order was or is. And of course, if they had asked that embarrassing question, they probably would have been banned from the White House press conference forever, and they would have lost their livelihood. So they knew that this is a question they dare not ask. But then the American people began to ask, well, what is the New World Order that George Bush is talking about? Well, George Bush could not tell them for a very simple reason, and that is that in order to implement what he calls the New World Order, he would have to supersede and go beyond the American Constitution. And, of course, when he became President of the United States, he took an oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the United States. So by plugging for the implementation of a New World Order, particularly over the American people, George Bush was renewing a drive which had been begun by the sinister influences behind President Woodrow Wilson at the Versailles Peace Conference after the First World War, when they came up with the idea for the League of Nations, which would be supposedly a world government, a one world government. And the only people who have ever wanted a one world government and who have promoted this ideal are the international bankers. And they want a world government for a very simple reason. They need a world government to protect their world monopoly of money. And only by a world government can they be sure that they can collect all the interest and principal of their loans to countries all over the world. They need some kind of international police force to go in when a country says, well, I've borrowed this money, but I don't have it to pay back, or you're going to play the dickens ever getting the money back, we're not going to pay you. So they need a force which will go after those governments and those politicians in those countries and say, if you don't repay this money, we're going to overthrow your government and we're going to enslave your people. And this is the real goal of a world government, and one world is to make all peoples of the world slaves forever of the international bankers. And of course, they don't dare put it in those terms. They always say, we want world peace, we want liberty for all peoples, we want human rights, and which we, of course, already have guaranteed in our own Constitution with our Bill of Rights. But the people who promote one world government never mention this, the fact that the United States of America has already guaranteed its people all of the rights which the New World Order supposedly would implement. Now, the term New World Order is itself simply an advertising term. It's like when a soap company brings out or wants to increase the sales of their product over the competitors, they say, we now have the new Tide, or we have the new cheer, and the only thing new about it is the addition of the word new. And of course, the world order, the only thing new about the world order is the addition of new, because the world order itself is 5,000 years old, as I have described in my book, The Curse of Canaan. It goes back to the ancient Babylonian debt money system. It goes back to the obscene and vicious ritual murder practices of the cult of Baal, which Jesus Christ came to earth to warn the people to abandon these evil practices. And, of course, they crucified him because the cult of Baal was so powerful at that time. But it went underground after the crucifixion of Christ, and it has reappeared over the centuries in various guises. In the Middle Ages, it became the Renaissance, and then it became the Enlightenment during the French Revolution. And its most modern guise is that of humanism. And of course, the principles of humanism are exactly the same principles of the cult of Baal of some 5,000 years ago. Because this war of the Satanists against all peoples of the earth has continued unabated, but from time to time they are exposed, they have to go underground, they have to hide, and their gods are killed, and the pieces, they're cut up into pieces, the pieces are disposed of. And it is the knowledge of where the bodies are buried which gave rise to the Gnostics, a group of priests, the knowing ones. Gnostics means the knowing ones. And what they knew was not only that they were of the cult of Baal, but they also knew where the pieces of the body of the founder of their religion, Nimrod, where his body was buried in the shrines. And that's why you have the Shriners and the Masons and the Illuminati. These are all offshoots of the ancient cult of Baal in their modern guises. And in no time have these Baalists been able to function in the world except in an atmosphere of extreme secrecy and under conditions of total control of their followers. And if anyone at any time ever betrayed their secrets, they would be murdered in a ritual manner. And this has taken place over the years, time and again, when some person would be stricken with conscience at the things they were doing because of the their membership in the cult of Baal or one of its many offshoots, such as Freemasonry and the Illuminati. And their conscience would begin to bother them, and they would go public with some of the horrible things that were going on behind the scenes, and they would promptly be eliminated. First, they would be denounced as being insane, and then they would be quietly disposed of. And this is the way that these secret conspirators protect themselves. And of course, we have a president of the United States at the present time, George Bush, who is a member of a super secret branch of this entire operation. It is called the Brotherhood of Death, although that is not its public name. It's known as the Skull and Bones Society of Yale University, which is operated as the Russell Trust, which was set up in 1848 at Yale University with a very liberal financial foundation. And of course, 1848 is the same year that the Rothschilds paid Karl Marx to write the Communist Manifesto of 1848, which was published while Karl Marx was working for the Rothschilds in an outfit called League of the Just, which later became known as the Communist Party of the World. And the appearance of Skull and Bones in 1848, this crucial communist year, explains why George Bush's grandfather, George Herbert Walker, after whom he was named, was a director of the American International Corporation, which was set up in New York in 1916 to promote the triumph of Bolshevism in Russia over the Tsar. And this financial burden had been carried by Jacob Schiff of Kuhn Loeb Company. The American representatives of the House of Rothschild had carried this load himself for 20 years and had spent $22 million of his own money promoting communism in Russia. And his principal agent for doing this was an international journalist named George Kennan. And George Kennan had no children, but he had a nephew, a namesake named George Kennan. So after World War II, the world order needed someone who could formulate a world foreign policy and a foreign policy of the United States. And who did they choose at the State Department but the same George Kennan, whose uncle had promoted world communism and who had successfully implemented the communist revolution in Russia. The same George Kennan appeared as the architect of American foreign policy with the policy of containment. Now, the policy of containment, which became the official foreign policy of the United States of America after 1948, which, by the way, was 100 years after the Communist Manifesto of 1848, and this has been the foreign policy of the United States at the present time. The Berlin Wall was erected under the policy of containment to guarantee that Soviet Russia would continue to enslave the captive nations of Eastern Europe, the satellite nations, despite the fact that American citizens who had originated in those countries, Poland, Czechoslovakia, and so forth, They had very vocal representation in the Congress of the United States, principally congressmen from the Polish districts of Chicago and Cleveland and other big cities. And despite the protests of these anti-communists, the policy of containment, of guaranteeing Soviet Russia that they would continue to enslave the communist nations of Europe, continued in effect until finally these nations collapsed of their own ineptitude, and the Berlin Wall was torn down, which was a direct affront to the foreign policy of the United States and to the world order. And despite the protests of these anti-communists, the policy of containment, of guaranteeing Soviet Russia that they would continue to enslave the communist nations of Europe, continued in effect until finally these nations collapsed of their own ineptitude, and the Berlin Wall was torn down, which was a direct affront to the foreign policy of the United States and to the world order. Well, when George Bush began to talk about the world order, no one made any public mention of the fact that he was a member of Skull and Bones and his family connections with promoting and defending communism through the years through his family banking house of Brown Brothers Harriman. As I say, no one mentioned this, and people began to speculate, well, what is the New World Order which George Bush is talking about? So finally he realized that he had to make some public explanation, and he finally said, the World Order will be a United Nations peacekeeping force all over the world to stop aggression. Well, at the very time, Soviet Russia had committed serious aggression in Afghanistan, and even as he was uttering these words, Soviet troops were putting down political dissident and political unrest in the Baltic states of Estonia and Lithuania and Latvia. So George Bush's protestations about fighting aggression sounded very hollow indeed. And it turned out that the only employment of this United Nations peacekeeping force of the New World Order was to be in the Middle East to promote the State of Israel's foreign policy of fomenting discontent and strife between the Arab nations in order to guarantee the security of Israel. And this is how Saddam Hussein was more or less invited by the United States State Department to invade Kuwait and take over the Kuwaiti oil wells. And this was necessary not because of the New World Order, but because the Wall Street Journal had pointed out that with the world glut of oil, oil could fall to a low price of $3 a barrel, which would be about 20 cents a gallon to American purchases of gasoline. So the Seven Sisters, the Rockefeller-Rothschild combine, which controls world oil production, they were not about to have oil sink to $3 a barrel. So by having Saddam Hussein invade Kuwait, and you cannot overlook the fact that Saddam Hussein has been on the payroll of the Central Intelligence Agency since 1963, when our CIA operatives overthrew the government of Iraq and installed the Ba'ath Party, and the Ba'ath Party, of course, was Saddam Hussein's party, and he subsequently became the head of that party and the dictator of Iraq. And of course, he would never have been dictator of Iraq a single day or continued in that position unless the CIA wanted him to continue in that position. And we also might remember that George Bush was director of the Central Intelligence Agency at the time when the Central Intelligence Agency became the largest drug dealers in the world. And the CIA has always promoted revolutions in various countries for the foreign policy of the State of Israel and for communism, and last and least for the public policy of the United States of America. So American citizens have to realize that the New World Order is the enemy of every American citizen. What we need is really a revolt against the New World Order by every American citizen, and which of course means a revolt against President George Bush and his cohorts, Henry Kissinger and the other internationalists who are sending us down the road to ruin. And the collapse of communism is the direct result of the economic policies, the ruinous policies of the New World Order in the United States, which have resulted in the Rust Belt in our Midwest, which have resulted in the loss of our, we had almost a monopoly on the world production of automobiles. This was deliberately sabotaged. After World War II, General William Draper of Dillon Reed Company was sent to Japan to reorganize the industry of Japan, and the so-called Japanese miracle was simply another of those Wall Street miracles which take place on command and by plan of the world order people. And as I say, it's very difficult for me to call them the New World Order because I fail to see how you can justify calling something new when it's 5,000 years old. And my book on this whole political situation is called The World Order, and it will never be called The New World Order because there's no way I can justify that title. But the basis of the world order, which George Bush does not tell the American people, is force. Any implementation of world order programs can only be done by force because they do not want political representation or political input by any citizen or representative of the United States. All of the principles of the world order are to be implemented by force. This is why we have the presidential executive orders. This is why we have FEMA, and we have many other dictatorship mechanisms set up in Washington ready to go into effect. We have the concentration camps have been set up ready to imprison American citizens who dare to criticize or oppose any dictate of the world order. So what the world order has to do is to totally get rid of the Constitution of the United States before they can put these programs into effect. As long as the Constitution exists, then legal challenges and legitimate challenges to any dictate of the totalitarian world order can be challenged. So the Constitution is the one roadblock to the success of the world order. Now, everybody in the world order knows this, and this is why throughout the entire educational system of the United States, the National Education Association, and every faculty member on every college and every school in the United States is promoting one world government, and they constantly denigrate and oppose the Constitution because they say that the Constitution allows injustices and inequality, and therefore we have got to get rid of the Constitution. And we're raising a generation which is educated to believe that the Constitution represents fascism, which itself means simply anti-communism, and therefore that we must get rid of the Constitution. So what we have developing in this country today is a coming struggle between the forces behind George Bush, international bankers who want world dictatorship under one world government, which will be called the New World Order, and the American people who want to guarantee and defend their liberties as guaranteed them by the Constitution of the United States of America. And it is our task to educate the American people and to alert our citizens as to just what this struggle is all about. Because the people promoting the New World Order, they do not dare come out in public and tell you just what their program is. They want you to accept it without question or without challenge, and that's why we have to challenge them on every point of the world order, and this is why our Constitution gives us all the guarantees that we need. And in fact, the Bill of Rights was added on to the Constitution by George Mason. I was recently in his ancestral home, which is quite close to Mount Vernon, and he and George Washington quarreled over Mason's insistence on adding the Bill of Rights to the Constitution, and George Washington never spoke to him again because George Washington echoed Alexander Hamilton's dictate that the Bill of Rights could be added later. George Mason says, no, I will not approve the Constitution. I will not use my political influence to have it approved until we have the Bill of Rights. And so if you're ever around the Washington area, you should go to Gunston Hall and see the home of George Mason, who gave us the Bill of Rights. I thank you for listening to this presentation on the world order. It's a much more extended subject than I've been able to cover in this limited time, but I do want you to understand the forces at work and how you can help to defend the Constitution.